This episode is brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixir Citrus Social Tonic.
Hey, Matt. Man, I've been invited to this Christmas party. I'm a little nervous. A little anxious, if you will.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to, like, talk to these people. Is there anything that you know about that could help me?
Well, what I always use when I have to go to a party is Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixir's Citrus Social Tonic.
What is that?
Well, it's hemp-derived THC, and it also has CBG.
Yo, what's CBG?
Well, I like to call it CB Good Morning or CB Get Ready.
Oh, because does it like lower your anxiety?
Well, what it does is it calms your anxiety, and it gets you more sociable and ready for the day.
All right, man.
I think you should try some of
that. Let me give it a try. All right, I'm going to give this a taste. Dude, that tastes like sunshine in a can.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
It's delicious.
Oh, my word.
And it'll chill you out.
I'm ready to talk to people.
Yeah, you should be.
All right, guys. I mean, if you're feeling anxious about going to your next holiday party, Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixir's Social Tonic is for you. Welcome to Paperback Bromance. This is a podcast where we read modern and classic romance novels and give them in-depth reviews. But here's the thing. They can only be secondhand novels. We have to drink boxed wine. And Matt has read the book. I'm David Joseph, the guy who has to read all this smut. And I'm here
with Matt.
And I'm Phoebe, who reads the steamy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Paperback Bromance, brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixirs. As always, I am Matt, and I am joined here with David and Phoebe. How's it going, guys?
We're here, man. We're here for another awesome episode, I hope. You know, it's going to be not as spicy as we're used to.
But no, hey, not so much spice.
The romance novels aren't always going to be.
Yeah.
You know what there is?
The spice.
You know what this full is of full of, though? Is Jesus and church.
There is a lot of talk of faith in this one. They don't really beat it over your head too
much. They don't
beat
it over your head, but there's just many references.
There's lots of references to the you know, the good Lord. as it were.
It's not bad. It's not overwhelming, but I would like some more sexy stuff and less going to church, but that's to each their own. You know, we read all varieties of romance novels on this podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, and this week, our romance novel is The Loner's Thanksgiving Wish by Roxanne Rustand. That's an interesting name.
It's you know, the interesting name. She's not super great with the naming in this book. So
No, she's not. Oh. She's not.
On this episode of Paperback Bromance, we are traveling to Clayton, Colorado, where May Clayton, a Chinese national adopted when she was a baby, has returned home to fulfill a stipulation in her late grandfather's will. Oh. She and all of her cousins need to remain in Clayton for 1 year or the sizable fortune and expanse of land. It's like 675 acres, man. It's a lot of land.
It's too much land. You don't need
it's a lot. We'll go to the other less, I'm using air quotes, dear listeners, less reputable side of the family. May doesn't plan on staying in Clayton after her time there is up. But when she reunites with the dashingly handsome Jack McCord, the boy, now a man she secretly loved once, she is going to need her faith to keep her distance, or she may never fully fit in with her family.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because he's associated with the other side of the family. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, it's almost cousins, but not, like, it's cousin adjacent.
You know, I did not put that together.
this whole small town is all, like, slightly related. It's very...
Yeah, this is Clayton family living in Clayton, Colorado.
It's very Hatfield and McCoy-esque. I mean, I feel like there's a little bit of inbreeding going on. I don't know.
All right.
And as always, dear listeners, this podcast is full of spoilers, so if you want to read the book and then take this journey with us, hit pause. We'll be here when you get back. So
that's right.
Matt, you've read the first chapter, the last chapter.
Mm.
So you've got the exciting beginnings and then the wholesome endings.
Yeah, yeah. And I read the back of the book, too.
And you read the back of the book,
yes,
too.
Yes, that was interesting.
You know what? I want to talk about the front of the book before we get into Matt Splains, the main characters.
The front of the book.
I didn't even look at it.
They talk about how there is so much snow. Like, it's snowing all the time because they're in Colorado.
It's like, but it's just green.
It's the snowiest Thanksgiving that they've ever seen. Phoebe, can you describe the cover of the book for us, please?
It's a man and a woman. They're holding hands. They're walking through a field, and it's very fall colors.
Not a scarf or a hat to be seen.
Jackets open, t-shirts on, jeans. There's snowy mountains in the back.
How about the footwear? would those be shoes or snow boots?
Those are definitely shoes.
Those are definitely shoes.
I was
going
to say Birkenstocks.
It looks like a New England fall, not a Colorado.
It really does. I mean, it definitely says fall themed, not snowy. So,
but it's pretty.
It is pretty.
We'll give it that.
It's
we'll
a
give
cute
it that.
Cover.
I'm just glad they got the races right because you can't fuck that up.
Ooh, yep.
You know, you can't be having a book about a Chinese girl and then have some white bitch on the cover.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
that would be awful.
Yeah, that's no.
That would be awful. So, Matt, let's talk about the main characters, man. Tell us, Matt, explain us these main characters.
Yeah, speaking of Asians, so we've got May. Of course, as you had said, and she lives in the town aptly named after herself of Clayton. Well, she doesn't live there, but she is there for the purpose of this story. She's actually a teacher out in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
She went out there to fulfill her dream. She's, as of being a teacher, she loves it. Her dream job, super happy there. Just can never find the right man.
Yeah.
And she's back here for her grandfather's wishes for all of the cousins to live in the town for a year, which is a dick move, I think. Who demands that? Like, how about spending a week or two together? Like,
yeah.
And, yeah.
You know, seven
that's
nights.
Fair.
Seven nights in the haunted mansion. Oh, no.
That
wrong genre.
Wrong genre, but the same idea.
Right.
Same
that's
idea.
The idea that we wanted or that we think that it should be.
Definitely.
So she doesn't even want to be here for this. Like, she hates her family. She's always, well, not hates, but that's a strong word. She's always felt like an outcast. She's adopted. Mm-hmm. She's Chinese. She's the only adopted member of her family for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
She has a brother named Lucas who's born into the family. And she's here because some of her cousins, her brother included, are tight for cash. And she's doing this for their benefit. She doesn't really care about the inheritance.
Oh, okay. All
she's right. just doing it because she knows other family members really need
could
it.
Could use it. All right.
Yeah. So she's out here and doing the right thing. She is trying the best she can to reconnect with her family.
Mm.
And including her mother, who's a real bitch, we find out.
Yeah.
But that might be for later.
You read that last chapter.
I did.
Yeah, we'll get to that, man.
Get to that. And I guess the other main character you could say is Mr. McCord there. Jack McCord,
mm-hmm.
your friendly neighborhood search and rescue expert.
Oh, yeah, he's so much more.
And he is bulky and steamy. Like, oh, he's a hunk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a hunk for sure.
Dashingly handsome.
Dashingly handsome. Very passionate about his job. You know, out there saving lives. Just doing it. You know? Just walking around all muscly in a flannel and climbing down mountains to save people.
But is he just doing it?
No, because we're not sponsored by Nike, so we can't.
Oh, well, that wasn't that. Actually what I meant, but yeah.
I know that's not what you
no,
meant.
No, he sticks to his faith. He stays
right.
true.
Okay.
He's
yeah.
yeah, he's saving himself, I all believe.
Right. Oh.
They don't make reference to it,
no,
at least not that I read.
You just kind of assume it because they're
everybody.
All very right, Christian.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Moving on.
There's not a lot of steam in this. I believe that's the main characters. I think that's.
Yeah. I mean, the main character really is May. So our main character, May, has always been painfully shy. That's kind of described about a third of the way through the book.
Mean girl.
Always feeling like an outsider in her own home, bonding with her brother, but not so much with her parents, and especially not her grandfather on the other side of the Clayton clan, who take her lack of conversational skills and shyness as an uppity look down the nose kind of personality. So she's just painfully shy. And these are just like, everybody's just like, oh, you're a bitch.
Mm.
You know, that's just resting bitch face that you got going on.
Though. It's just rude. It's just rude. Right?
I know how that feels.
In fact, she's kind. She's intelligent. She's a rock climber.
Yeah.
Right?
She's an avid hiker and rock climber.
Yeah, nice. Kick-ass teacher. Right. She's beloved by the school that she's currently working at. So much so that she tells the principal her situation, and she's like, yeah, whenever you're done,
just come on back.
That's awesome.
She's also pretty sweet at first aid, which we'll get into.
Okay.
She's definitely a rule follower.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and as far as her family is concerned, always staying in line with the exception of becoming that teacher. You know, following that one passion, because of course they wanted her to follow in her father's footsteps and become a doctor.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Oh, so cliche.
Take over the family business of doctoring.
I mean, he's like even further snubbed because Lucas doesn't do it either. He becomes a veterinarian.
Right. He's kind of a doctor, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, doctor for animals.
Yeah. Horse doctor.
I think it's just as admirable to be a veterinarian as it is to be a human doctor.
Sure, sometimes more so.
I mean, you can definitely attest to that by the amount of cats that you have in your house.
Yeah.
There's an amount. There's also an amount of birds. They surprisingly blend pretty well.
All right, Matt, what do you think based on those two? I mean, a lot happens in these, 213 pages?
Yeah.
A lot of dialogue, a lot of family back and forth stuff.
It's very much dialogue.
And then they like wrap it up in the last 13 pages. Like,
it all takes place in like a week.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was going to take place over the year that they were all stuck there. No,
it's
the countdown to Thanksgiving, and it wraps up the day after Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow.
It's like, yeah, she got out there early for Thanksgiving and like showed up on Monday because she wanted to hike around where she grew up.
Mm-hmm.
She's a hiker, rock climber. She's on a hike and runs into one of her cousins. That on the good side of the family, I guess you would say? No, the bad side.
The bad side, yeah.
Okay,
you're talking about Cade, right?
Well, Cade and, his fiance?
His fiance is Jasmine.
I thought Jasmine was her cousin.
No, Jasmine is a ward of her cousin's. I can't remember exactly what happened with Jasmine's parents.
Okay.
But Jasmine is staying with, I believe it's Vivian, is the cousin.
Yeah.
And yes, Vivian is on the reputable side. Her fiance, Cade, is on the disreputable side, even though, again, dear listeners, using air quotes, even though he's a nice guy.
Eventually, I'll record this with a video and we'll put it on YouTube and then you can see David's mannerisms.
All my gestures.
And all of the things that we drink while we're doing it. Dr. Lovejoy's and smut juice. Oh, some Freedom's Edge cider.
Love me some smut juice.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So keep on going, man.
So they're hiking, and, you know, she starts talking with her cousins. Pseudo cousin and actual cousin. And, you know, they're just, oh, well, you're going to come back for the wedding, or you'll be here for the wedding since everyone's staying for a year. And she's like, what? Whose wedding? Oh, ours. We're engaged. And it's just like, oh, all right.
Kind of young, aren't you?
Yeah. So they're hiking because they are on the young side. They're like 19 or something, aren't they?
Yeah, 18, 19. Yeah, they haven't even gone to college yet.
Right. Yeah. So they're hiking, all of them. And all of a sudden, like, the cliff just decides to fall off.
Yep.
The
landslide.
Face of the cliff.
Oh, my.
Falls off. The two of them go down.
Cade and Jasmine.
Oh, dear.
Yes. May is still up top, but she's got her rock climbing bag. Not enough rope to rappel. From what I understand about rappelling is you need about twice as much rope as the distance you're going.
Oh, okay. All right.
So she has to hand over hand climb down.
Oh,
damn. Like 100 feet.
100 feet.
Whoa.
Right. Like I said, badass.
Holy crap.
Super badass. She gets down there. Jasmine's conscious. Cade is unconscious. And Jasmine has a sock held to his head, which is just soaking with blood.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good situation.
No.
So she starts digging through her bag, gets her first aid kit and starts wrapping gauze. She finds it best not to take the sock off and, you know, undo any clotting that's happened. Wraps that up real quick. I think she yelled at someone else to call for help.
Yeah.
So help arrives. Someone rappels down because he brought the proper amount of rope because he was, you know, prepared for this situation. She was just there by sheer luck. And can you guess who it is, Phoebe? Can you guess who
this might be? My guess is it's that guy.
It's Jack McCord. Handsome Jack McCord.
Who happens to be the brother of?
The brother of Cade.
Half-brother.
Half-brother of Cade. Yes.
Yeah, the family dynamic tree thing that they try to... I could not digest it.
There's a lot to map out. There's so many names. So he gets down there. This is the first time she's seen her high school crush in... Since high school.
Secret high school crush.
Secret high school crush.
Secret.
And now he's got to like treat and rescue his brother, which is a conflict of interest. But in that situation, what are you going to do?
Right.
Just like, no, not you. Get another one. Get another one.
And he really just kind of stabilizes them until the paramedics show up.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stabilizes them. And then they pick him up in one of the baskets. Of course, it's too windy for a helicopter.
Naturally.
Because they'll get smashed into a cliff. So they have to get this whole winch situation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear.
Yeah. Yeah. Harrowing.
I helped carry a woman down a mountain once.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were hiking and we rented a cabin in Rangeley.
Was it Don McLean's wife?
It was not Don McLean's wife. We were in Rangeley, not Camden. I totally would have helped her, by the way. But yeah, we didn't even make it. We had Barley with us. Oh, dear Barley.
Oh.
We didn't even make it, I don't think, halfway up the mountain before we found this woman, and her ankle was in a bad way. And so
that's crazy.
Paramedics showed up with a stretcher, and I'm just like, what side do you want me to take?
You're just there being jacked and handsome and...
Oh, so bearded.
Saving...
But I had long
saving
hair.
People on cliffs.
Oh, I used to have long hair without the bald spot.
Oh, the glory days.
Anyway.
It's fine.
Anyway. So that's what I gathered from the first chapter. And what you would expect now is, you know, to have them banging this whole time. But no.
No, it's a very faith. It's a very faith-driven story.
Right. So, yeah. Which I put together, and I know they're not banging the whole time, but they are hanging out. They're making friends.
To the chagrin
of...
Her mother.
Her mother, who hates him. He's not good enough for her, because he's acquainted with the other disreputable side of the family.
For like a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, barely.
It was just like a minute.
Yeah. Not good. So, this all goes on. They're planning Thanksgiving. She's trying to talk with her cousins. Her brother is missing.
Mm-hmm.
He's down in Florida in the Everglades, not answering phone calls. He's in it with some bad guys, some shady drug dealer types.
Uh-oh.
First, I thought it was gambling. But
I can't wait to talk about this.
Oh,
this is bad.
He did some bad veterinary work. Oh,
yeah.
Oops.
No. I'll get to it.
Okay. Someone's horse up.
Oh dear.
No, you can't do that because the horse is going to fuck you up.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So now May is devising this whole scheme. I'm going to go down and save him because the police aren't doing anything, or they're just not finding him.
Right.
She feels like they're not doing anything.
And Jack is like, May, you can't do that. You've got no training. Like, you've never been to Florida.
Mm.
What are you doing? Like, if the police can't find him, and what if you stir up trouble with these shady guys?
Right.
And you could just get dumped in the Everglades and eaten by alligators.
Right.
Not good.
Not good.
Or than what, the Burmese pythons or the invasive species there.
Any number of insane animals that live in the Florida Everglades. They will just swallow you whole.
Oh, God.
The Everglades
and not
themselves.
Think twice.
Oh,
yeah, the
God.
Everglades themselves. Yeah. And the animals in them. You're never heard from or seen again. No, you don't want to do that. Don't go to the Everglades. Just don't. It's not on the list of things.
Unless you're trained.
Unless you're trained in Everglading.
Mm, or forestry rescue.
Forestry mountain rescue specifically, which is where Jack comes back into the equation.
What?
He calls one of her cousins and says, hey, May's trying to do this. And he's like, well, just tell her not to. Talk her out of it. Bad idea. And he's just like, no, you don't know. Like, she is determined. I see it in her eyes.
Uh-oh.
I'm going instead.
What?
And Jack's like, no, you can't go. What are you, crazy? And he's just like, look, I went down to school.
Or her cousin. Her cousin is Zach.
Her cousin is Zach. Yes.
Her cousin Zach is also saying, no, Jack, you can't. No.
Zach,
no,
that's
Jack,
who he calls.
Whatever.
Yeah. Zach and Jack.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So Zach is telling Jack, no, you can't do that. He's like, I'll do it. He's my cousin. And he's just like, no, dude, you're in law enforcement. You'd be out of your jurisdiction. Like,
right,
that'll cause problems.
That'll be a real bit.
I have no jurisdiction. I'm not in law enforcement. Plus, I went to school down there and studied the Everglades. And I'm trained in forestry search and rescue.
What?
So I'm perfect for this.
Obviously.
Doesn't tell May. He just fucks off, buys himself a last-minute plane ticket the week of Thanksgiving.
Oh, dear.
We're getting towards the end, so.
We're getting towards the end. So I'll leave that there while David touches on what the plot actually is, and then I'll come back and tell you what really happens.
So, Fly Asian Honeys.
Say it.
This is Fly Asian Honeys. Well, one Fly Asian Honey. This is
just
Colorado.
Right. In a sea of white people.
And a lot of cousins that are sort of related and sort of not.
I have been to Colorado. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you it is a very white state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't say
a lot of
much about all the cousins I didn't get that far into Colorado.
Well, you didn't go to this town, apparently. So.
I don't know if it's a real town
or not. It's not a real town.
I'm sure it's not. It's anyway. Not.
All right, so it's exactly how it played out in the back of the book. I mean, the most exciting thing that sort of happens is the landslide in the beginning, okay? And the missing brother being chased by the drug gang is what they're referred to.
Yeah, the drug gang.
So
almost as good as the booze hounds.
He's down in Florida. You know, so, my word. All right, so May's mother is at varied arm's length when it comes to her adopted daughter and is super upset when May reveals that he is missing in the Florida Everglades, where he has gone to save the child of one of his best friends.
Right.
Right, so he's gone down there to...
So Lucas went to save...
Yeah, so Lucas, friend. Lucas's buddy got in with a bad way.
Okay.
With the drug gang.
The drug gang?
Yep. The drug gang kidnapped his child.
For it.
I don't know. They don't really get into it.
Yeah.
It's just the drug gang.
I'm just guessing because that's what drug gangs do.
I know. Sorry. So I'm assuming it's drug related, you know, maybe some discrepancies on the bill.
I got to dispute this charge.
They steal the guy's kid and go and hide out in the Everglades. And Lucas is like, well, I can save the day. No problem. So, and then he's vanished. Not answering calls, any of that shit.
Off the face of the earth.
Yeah. So, and, you know, May's mother, Lucette, is very, very upset.
Understandably. Yeah. Her son is missing.
And, you know, she keeps running into Jack during her time in this town that she's supposed to be here for a year, including when
he's a small town. They're just, everyone's just around.
Yeah. And she needs a job. So her mom puts her up at one of her cabins because her mom's got like rental properties and whatnot for tourists and shit for the summer and the snows and, you know, for the skiing. So she's got a number of cabins, like nice little cozy little bungalow styles.
Nice.
And, you know, puts May up in one of those, refuses to take payment, all that lovey dovey mom stuff.
That's nice of her.
Yeah.
That's one nice thing she does.
Anyway. And of course, instead of going back to school to be a doctor, like her mom keeps insinuating.
Oh, why don't you just go be a doctor since you're stuck here?
You know, while you're here, you could just go back to school and be a doctor. I'll pay for it.
Because you can go to med school and become a doctor in a year.
Well, you can start the process. Luckily, one of the teachers at the local high school has had the baby. Needs to take the
popped out a small miniature.
Yep, taking the time, taking that maternity leave, so May has a job for the year that she's there, right? And so, who should show up at her environmental science class to be a guest speaker for a special project?
Jack McCord.
It was supposed to be some older dude, right?
It's always supposed to be an old...
But he has since transferred and nobody gave May the memo. Mm-hmm. Matt, you know about memos.
Yeah, I got memos.
Yeah, it turns out that not only does Jack McCord volunteer, it's not his job to save people in the wild. He has a master's in biology.
Yeah.
And runs the forestry service for Clayton County.
Sure.
Because it's not just the town, it's the county.
Because why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the entire county.
There is a very not subtle current of distrust and outright hostility, not physical hostility, towards each side of the family. Nobody trusts Jack, even though he was only married into the bad side of the Clayton clan. Like, he was essentially also adopted. That's the little kind of like connection that nobody really put together between he and May. He doesn't even have the same name.
No.
You know, he's Jack McCord.
McCord.
And even though May is trying to keep her distance, she is obviously falling for him again, much to the horror of her mother, who is just... Matt, you're right. She's just awful.
She's a terrible person.
So May ends up with a stray dog for some reason. I think it was just to get Jack more into the picture.
His name is Moose.
And maybe like
he's a
little...
very lovey boy.
A little subtle shove to lay down some roots, you know? A little puppy. But yeah, he's a couple years old.
You have a puppy, you have to stay
super,
here.
Super fluffy, lovable dog.
Oh.
And Jack, you know, gets him all cleaned up. Baby, you know, puppy sits him while she's at school, and then she comes back and he's just like this big fluff ball.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And
he loves both of them equally. Like, they are his people.
And the old sweetie, he's just an absolute doll. To the horror of Lisette, because she's just like, this dog is too big for this house. You can't keep this dog. And then, you know, of course,
cannot dog here. How dare you?
Rude.
May is using her year there, just feel like, I'm only going to be here for a year. So, you know, Lisette finally relents. She's like, all right, it's just a year. No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And as the story progresses and she's, you know, interacting more and more with Jack, she's kind of like growing this backbone that she didn't realize that she already had to stand up to her mother, to defend Jack from the naysayers on her side of the family, defending his decision for his very young brother, who is very much in love with Jasmine, to go ahead with the wedding. It's like, all right, if you want to do this, I'm going to support you, man. And her idea to have a huge, Jasmine's idea to have this huge Thanksgiving feast. That's what the week is culminating to.
Right. She wants to bring both sides of the family together and kind of bury the hatchet.
Exactly. Or at least start the process of burying the hatchet.
Right.
All right. So it's also, she's also kind of forcing her mother to come out of her shell a little bit because after her husband died, she just kind of like became a sort of a recluse. So it's like, all right, well, you know, you want me to volunteer at the church? So would my mom. She would love to help volunteer at the church.
Yeah, forcing her out.
Yeah, go see some old friends and all that stuff. And after some stubborn old lady pushback, she does. You know, she embraces it and starts like, you know, essentially running the program at the church. She's like, all right, I can do this. And turn it to 11.
Starts to like actually reconnect with her mom and be like, oh, this is actually good. Like we might be able to fix our relationship here. Like we are mending ties.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, as Thanksgiving is approaching, the tensions are getting higher about the whole inheritance thing. And the bad side of the family is leaving nasty notes for May saying, you know, you'll never be a part of the family, which she has already kind of felt. We've already touched on that.
Yeah. Right, because she's the only adopted one and she's a different race. But she doesn't look like but it's ridiculous. Any of them or anyone in the town.
But all the cousins that she grew up with love her.
Right.
Absolutely love her.
Her side of the family love her. Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone else is just racist, bitter pieces of shit.
Yeah. And thought that her shy attitude was that of an uppity nature.
There is a reason why the bad side of the family is this way. So it was two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And one brother, the Clayton side.
They're both Claytons. They're both Claytons. Well, George and Samuel.
Yeah, George. So George screwed Samuel out of a big inheritance. All the land, the whole town, the money, everything.
Supposedly.
Oh, yes.
Allegedly.
Okay. Allegedly.
Allegedly. So, of course, all of the inheritance now that George has passed is supposed to go to his side of the family and not the Samuel side.
Right.
So they're plotting and scheming and just being assholes because they feel like they've been screwed out of what's rightfully theirs.
Exactly.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
So May is also doing a little volunteering for the church as well, as I mentioned, taking care of a little girl whose mother is dying of lupus.
Oh.
And man, that little girl looks an awful lot like one of her cousins. That she, you know, she had this like flashback. And I was like, huh.
She looks
you
familiar.
You look like one of my cousins. Why do you look like?
Because everyone in this town looks like one of my cousins because they're all cousins.
Back to the whole shitty side doing shitty things. Jack and May had been working with her students on a special project that I mentioned just a few minutes ago. And they're on a field trip out in the woods because Jack's doing his biology thing. You know, he's trying to teach the kids about endangered animals because, again, dude, he's the whole package. The only thing he's missing is an Irish accent.
Oh, damn. Gets me every time.
So they're up in the woods on one of the mountains. One of the kids, Gina, is being difficult, does a half-assed job, and states that she is leaving because she's cold. So May escorts her to the bus and then heads back to the group. She doesn't actually take her to the bus. She gets inside of the bus. She watches Gina walk to the bus and then leaves. And she hears this little snicker, which is kind of weird. So a little while later, and the class is ready to go, but the bus driver is, like, drugged, and Gina is nowhere to be seen.
What?
Okay? We're talking dogs. Massive search is launched. Her mom shows up and is throwing a fit, making a scene.
Of course.
Right? Only to find the girl at a friend's house getting ready to bounce to Denver for a spell with a couple $1,000 gift cards that were supposed to come back, and then they were supposed to come back to town and feign being lost or abducted to get Mac and Jay, and by proxy, Jack, discredited and fired.
What the?
Trying to get her to leave town, thus violating the terms of the will.
Uh-oh.
There you go. That's right. These assholes used a high school girl to roofie an elderly bus driver and take off.
Crap.
Yeah. So what does Lisette?
Shitty people, like we said.
So what do you think Lisette does?
Well, she says, well, Jack's a shitty person because he's associated with them. So you need to stay away from him.
No, she blames May for being unprofessional.
Oh, yeah.
What the?
Flighty and under the influence of the terrible Jack until May reveals the part of the story she didn't get and accusing her mother of never really loving her. She's like, did you ever really love me? And her mom gets really flustered. And just like, I can't talk about this right now.
I can't talk about how I never loved you. I don't want to talk about that.
Clearly, no.
What happens next is laid out in like 20 pages. So I'm going to try and get this, you know, condensed.
Okay.
Gina openly admits to the incident involving the roofie and all that jazz. Okay. In a very public place, they're at the presentation of the project that they were doing. All right. So it's all the students there. All the teachers are there. There's kids, you know, there's families there. There's also a sheriff's deputy there.
Oh, that's convenient.
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, she shows up trying to get May fired again, you know, talking very loudly, her emotional, this is Gina's mom, all my emotional trauma, until Gina drops that bomb.
Boom.
Yeah. And that nice deputy happily escorts her loud mouth down to the station where they can have a nice chat with a lawyer.
Great chat.
And maybe bring up some charges.
Yeah. Maybe some charges got coming out. Yeah. Maybe meanwhile, we'll get the DA involved, huh?
Yeah. Maybe get the DA involved because they found maybe some meth lab making equipment.
Oh,
some nice Colorado meth.
Yeah.
Damn.
They just casually threw that into the story. Well,
that's the crazy thing about meth.
Here's some meth.
The crazy thing about meth is just sprinkled everywhere. Like, it's almost everywhere. That, and I love it.
Matthew.
What?
No. All right. Meanwhile, everyone is telling Jack not to bother with May. The shitty ones are telling, you know, May's going to be leaving at the end of the year. So, you know, he gets a little butthurt, even if they have a little date and maybe shared a kiss, a little smooch, a little innocent smooch.
Ooh, smoochy.
All right. And so Lisette shows up at May's cottage with some truth. The reason she has been so cold and distant all these years, always pushing away. I'm pushing May away from Jack, always trying to steer her and her brother Lucas to the career path that she wanted. You remember him, Lucas?
Yeah.
Lost in the Everglades.
Yeah, Lost in the Everglades. The drug gang.
Her dead husband was a serial cheater. And when the depression hit, because of said cheating, being a and him being a doctor, he just kind of loads Lisette up on meds.
Oh.
So this rocks May to the core. So her entire childhood is collapsing, right?
She's
realizing that
up and,
yeah, her dad was a piece of shit and her mom was in a drugged out haze for most of her childhood.
Yeah, she's just loaded up on like Xanax and lithium.
Exactly. So Lisette doubles down on the whole never trust Jack because, you know, all men lie. She assures her that May has always been her, you know, her first child, because they adopted May because they felt that they couldn't have children, and then Lucas came along, you know, classic trope.
Oh, yeah. I actually had a friend that happened to. He was adopted because they thought they couldn't have kids. And then they had two sisters.
Yep.
Or he had two sisters. He got two sisters. How does that work? How are babies happening?
Yeah.
And yeah, no, that happened to him. And then his parents loved the sisters more than him.
Oh, that's awful.
I hate that.
Yeah. Let's and I had stop. To do. He was one of my best friends growing up. It was horrible to
Lisette
watch.
Lisette has more bombs to drop. She also reveals that May probably has a half sister. Remember the dying lady?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, one of the father's mistresses. She found. Yep.
Because he's a piece of shit.
Yep. Yeah, it was in, I think his coat when he had his heart attack. Lisette found a note that just had this woman's address and baby underlined.
Uh-oh.
That's all it said. It was never addressed, though, by him, right? So, and even though she won't admit it, this mistress won't admit that the child is most likely a Clayton. Because that would therefore make them one of the beneficiaries of this sizable will.
It's another way to split this up.
Does the author wrap up that storyline?
No. Nope. We leave that alone.
Nope. At one point during all of this, very stoic Jack lets her know he probably won't be able to make that big Thanksgiving dinner. And May is sad, but trying to help get said dinner underway. So doesn't really think that much of it and goes about it with the big dinner. Everyone is showing up like nobody thought would happen, and May finds out that Jack has in fact gone to Florida to save Lucas. Remember him?
Yeah, hence why Jack wasn't going to be able to make the dinner because he was flying down. And then, of course, they just focus on, oh, yeah, that's so nice of him, and it must have been so expensive last minute that. Like, they get into that, but
and
we can't wrap up the
turkey
other
a little dry.
The turkey's probably a little dry.
Mm. He was supposed to have returned a couple days ago, but never showed. Lisette surprisingly shows up and is terrible as
always.
Last
minute, late.
Yep. Revealing to May that she has had a little talk with Jack about staying away from her daughter, just like she and May's father had done back in high school when they suspected May had a thing for Jack to begin with.
Because he had a thing for her, mm-hmm. and they did the whole stay away from our daughter bullshit.
Boom. Both of them separately.
So they could have been together since high school.
And that's when May reveals to her mother exactly where Jack is.
Yeah.
He's down in Florida trying to save your son. He was supposed to be back yesterday, and he's not. and he's not answering his phone. He might be dead trying to save your son, you bitch.
What?
And at that moment, just like Hallmark intended, who should walk in but Jack himself? A little worse for wear, yep.
He's got a big gash across his cheek that probably needs stitches.
Oh, dear.
He looks grizzled. He's got a duffel on.
Yep.
He came straight to Thanksgiving from...
from the airport.
The airport.
Yep.
He looks rough.
Oh, damn.
Found Lucas.
Okay.
Found the child.
May gives amazing. Him a hug.
Took down the drug gang.
Oh, yeah.
What
he
the
took
heck?
Down
the
single-handedly.
He's like, if you don't squeeze so tight, wow. like he's probably got some broken ribs going on.
Oh, yeah. She gets all swoony.
He says that they're, you know, the drug gang is all in jail.
Yep.
And Lucas should be coming home in the next few days.
Yeah, after being processed. So, Phoebe, what happens? What happens then? Because this is the only slightly steamy part.
Before we get into Phoebe Reads the Steamy, we do need to get a word from our sponsors. Let's hear it.
And this episode has been brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixirs Dream RX Blueberry Nightcap.
Hey, David, I've been having some hard time sleeping at night.
Oh, well, if I have a hard time sleeping at night, I drink Dr. Lovejoy's Blueberry RX. Do you know why?
No, I'd like to know.
Well, it's got a low grade THC, and it also has CBN.
What's CBN?
CBN is what happens to THC when it grows on the plant. It makes you super sleepy.
Oh.
And helps you stay asleep, man.
I think I might try that. I feel tired already. And we are back.
Oh, after having a delicious Dr. Lovejoy's elixir, should we go into our next segment, which would be Phoebe Reads the Steamy, but...
there's not much steamy here. There's some nice stuff.
There's not a lot. There's, yeah.
Phoebe, why don't you tell us about it?
You know, okay, so like David said, there's not a whole lot going on for this, but it's still very romantic and sweet. And you guys know I'm a sucker for that. So
absolutely.
Really, the last little bit is the most steamy we get, besides, you know, a quick little date and maybe a little kiss here and there and the forehead kiss. But
after he gets back from rescuing her brother,
right?
Yeah. He gives her a little forehead kiss.
Yes.
And she hugs
cute.
Him a
Hi,
little.
Hi, sweetie.
It was so cute. But still. Moving on.
In front of her entire family, that one was, too.
Exactly.
And most of them don't like him.
So, yeah, they really don't.
Too bad, guys, because let me tell you what.
Uh-oh.
She decides. She just wants to be with him, and he confesses his love to her.
Oh, boy.
It's so cute. And he's like, I've been in love with you since high school, and I didn't even know what love meant, but I know now, and it was with you.
Wow.
That's and sweet. Then their cute little love child dog knocks them together.
Moose. Yeah.
Moose. He like kind of pushes them both together, and they embrace, and they do this very sweet little kiss. And she decides that she will go wherever he is, and his career is there.
Right, because that was their whole thing. Like, he was playing nonchalant, like, so I guess you're going back to San Francisco after this.
Right.
Because it's her dream job.
Right.
He doesn't want to take away her dream job.
Yeah.
And his job is there. It has to be there. It's mountain and forest rescue. Yeah. He wasn't going to do in San Francisco.
Nothing.
Not mountain forest
not
rescue.
Not that.
It's very hilly.
I lived just outside of San Francisco. It is very hilly, but you're not doing a lot of mountain.
Not like Colorado Rocky Mountains.
You can get out to the mountains, but it'll take you an hour. Driving over the Golden Gate Bridge is a nightmare.
But she says, you know, jobs come and go, and I will find something, and I would rather be here because I love you too.
Right. Yeah, she said that finding a
Stuck
job
on that one, Mom.
Is way easier than finding a soulmate.
Right.
For a person to love and be with for the rest of your life.
And I love, now that I've heard the story, I love that, like, they're both adopted. They both have, like, this kind of background.
Right, so they both get it.
Yeah.
And then they've both been pining for each other all along.
Exactly.
And because she's adopted, they're not actually cousins like everyone else is in this book.
Correct. Yeah, he's only related through marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there we go. It was very cute. The end. I almost actually cried. I'm not good like
that's
like,
adorable.
It was very sweet.
It was.
That's
it
all.
Was. It was not steamy,
but it was cute in the dog. And
it's an interesting story. It is very interesting. I know we've all had our weird family holidays.
Yeah, man.
You know, some of them go better than others. Everyone has families that fight or somebody ruins the turkey. I've got one. Let me tell you.
Tell us about it.
Mom, I'm sorry. But I got to cry most foul.
We love you.
I love you, but I got to put this one out there for the world. My mother has a few good dishes that she cooks, but she's not the greatest cook. I give her credit when she does. We had one incident. We decided to have just a small Thanksgiving at home. Me, her, and my brother.
Okay.
And... she asks me how long the turkey needs to be cooked. I do the turkey math, you know, 15 minutes per pound. Okay, so 12 pounds. Here it is. And she puts it in there. My brother and I are hanging out. I think we're just playing video games because I was living up here in Maine and I drove down to Massachusetts to be with them. So we were catching up and doing something. And all of a sudden she comes in and she says, "All right, turkey's ready. Dinner's served. Come on in." So... we eat it, and, you know, she's just like, "Oh, yeah, it's real tender. It's
great."
And
think nothing of the fact that, man, that turkey cooked real fast.
Yeah.
No, I didn't think about it, no. Like, because I didn't know when she started it. Right, I told her, like, the night before or in the morning how long it needs to go. I wasn't paying it. It's not like I was helping, you know.
Oh, dear.
I was on vacation, and my brother's just sitting there. He's like, "Mom, you need any help?" And she's like, "Yeah, that'd be great." He's like, "Oh, I was just asking."
What?
Yeah, I'm just wondering.
Oh,
I don't actually want to.
I wasn't actually going to help.
Dude.
Anyway.
So, yeah, she's like, "Oh, yeah, it's so tender." And, "Oh, yeah, it was done 2 hours early." I'm like,
"What?
The what now?
No.
Hold on. Come again for Big Todd?" can you repeat yourself? She's like, "Yeah, it was done 2 hours early." I'm like, "You didn't set the timer? How was it done 2 hours early?" She's like, "Oh, the blue thing popped."
No.
I'm like, "That doesn't work.
No.
You gotta check it with a real thermometer, mother."
Oh, dear.
Now, so then I spent the rest of Thanksgiving weekend with food poisoning.
Oh, God.
Oh, my
with
word.
One bathroom. And my mother and my brother, we all had something not good.
No.
I almost went outside and dug a latrine.
Oh, God. Because
you've got them skills.
Yeah. I didn't have my e-tool with me, so that didn't work.
Oh, man.
For those
gosh.
Of you that don't know, an e-tool is a tiny little folding shovel.
It
stands for excavation. Yeah. It can also be used as a weapon in a pinch.
Yeah, those are super
is
cool.
Is it serrated?
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent.
It has like all the things. Excellent.
I sharpened mine.
I've got one quick story, and it happened at Thanksgiving. I think it was the first one because I'd put a stand on Thanksgiving where after we had our second kid, I was just like, this is the one holiday I just don't want to go anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to come and hang out with me? All for it.
David loves being at his house for
heck
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Chill. Pajamas all day.
Mm-hmm. Pajamas all day, football, music in the kitchen. I'll normally bend the rules and let Carla put on some Christmas tunes if I'm not in the same room.
Ugh.
But so, yeah, this was like the first one that everybody decided to show up. And I mean, my house was packed. Like we had to break out an extra table. There was hardly any places to sit. And I'm halfway through roasting the turkey and the oven breaks.
Uh-oh.
And I'm realizing, wow, that's not hot. So I had to save the day and finish it out on the grill.
Oh, grill turkey.
No. Yeah.
Well,
yeah. But it took
really
like, it was delicious. I brined it and everything. But oh my word, it took like 3 hours longer than
because you're not holding all the heat in.
But Mama Neva brought the SOSs, so we were saved.
Yes,
we were
saved.
Yeah. Anytime Mama Neva comes to one of my parties, can I bring anything? SOSs. Yeah.
Dear listeners, for the uninitiated, those are tiny rye crackers with a mixture of ground beef, spicy breakfast sausage, and Velveeta cheese baked in the oven.
And SOS stands for shit on a shingle.
In stereo, folks.
So I have two really quick Thanksgiving stories.
Oh boy.
And only because one almost happened again today.
Uh-oh.
So Matt and I moved into our house a couple of years ago, and I'm doing dishes on like Thanksgiving Day or something, or the day before or something. We host Friendsgiving every year.
Yeah.
I pulled the like the tray out of
the top rack out of the dishwasher.
I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden
it was already messed up because the people we bought the house from had giant pit bulls or
oh my god
bulldogs or something, so, and they just chewed it.
I'm trying to unload the dishwasher, and all of a sudden it is in pieces all across the freaking kitchen.
Oh no!
And I'm like, oh god, I have so many dishes to do.
And I had to do it home by, or like upstairs from the basement.
I texted him a picture. I'm like, I don't know what happened. But yeah, it was I wasn't like, home. I'm just like,
what?
Like, yeah, it would just.
She's like, I don't know what happened. I broke everything.
Really,
oh my god, I broke everything.
It looked like she threw a hand grenade in
really
the kitchen.
Really did. It just like exploded. it was bad. But I mean, luckily, so I got you know.
Great Black Friday deal on a new dishwasher.
Right on.
And then I was loading the dishwasher today, and it almost happened again. And I was like, don't break the dishwasher.
I saw her doing it. I'm like, please don't do that again.
Anyway.
I don't want this to be a tradition.
So then here's another really quick, funny one. So I've mentioned before on our lovely podcast that I am a farmer. I've been raised on a farm my whole life.
Yep.
My mom.
Love Georgine.
We love her.
And she loves Dr. Lovejoy.
She has a really funny sense of humor. And
I wonder where you get it from.
It's quirky, right?
You don't say.
She sent my sister and I down into the basement to get something. And we go down there and we're like digging through the freezer and we come across this bag and it just says, it's like chicken wings, but it says people wings.
Oh, no.
And we're like, what the fuck?
What are your parents doing on that farm? Oh, this is when you lived on Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah. No. No, it was so funny. We were just like, what the fuck are people wings? But like,
wings for the people.
Right. But like, they do like the raw food diet for their dog and stuff. So it was like, so they were probably like
dog wings
and then people wings. But that was just, we were like, why did you label them?
you shouldn't give dogs chicken bones though.
No, they splinter.
I'm sure your parents don't. No, it's probably just to tell the difference between packaged meats.
I honestly have no idea.
Chicken wings also make some of the best chicken stock.
They do. Yeah, all that marrow.
People wings though.
People wings.
That's the way to go.
That's how we're gonna close this out. People wings.
Yeah. Well. We do have some fun Thanksgiving plans this year. We are going to Phoebe's parents' farm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know, David, you're staying home
and
doing
home.
It for your family.
Yeah.
And
we're
going to stop by for dessert.
I love it.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. Love that. And then we've got our annual Friendsgiving party the Saturday after, which you're coming out for.
I believe so, yeah.
I'm smoking the turkey. Everyone loves my smoked turkey.
And I'm supposed to bring something? I can't remember.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Anyway. Yeah. We'll talk it out off the air. Anyway, thank you guys for listening to Paperback Bromance, brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixirs. As always, I have been Matt.
And I'm Phoebe, who reads the steamy.
Paperback Bromance is written by David Joseph, hosted by Matt Mulray and David Joseph. Phoebe is our giggly sidekick and does kick-ass artwork for us. Produced and edited by Matt Mulray, our novel this episode was The Loner's Thanksgiving Wish by Roxanne Rustand. I hope I'm pronouncing that, ma'am, correctly. Copyright 2011, published by Harlequin Books. Our theme music is Devil in the Bottle by Icolix. Found on the Free Music Archive. Please rate, review, follow, and like us. Drink Dr. Lovejoy's elixirs. Thank you so much, dear listeners, and we will see you next time.
Bye.